The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney, and I'm here with Sarah DeBruin. Hi, Sarah.
Good morning, Pat.
Glad to see you again, and we are really excited this morning. We have Wilson Jones with us. Hi, Wilson.
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Wilson is the CEO of the Oshkosh Corp, and we're really excited about this program. We've got a lot to talk about. So why don't we start, Wilson, with you telling us a little bit about the history of Oshkosh Corp.
Oh, thanks, Pat. It really is a history that I'm proud to be a part of. You go back 100 years. We celebrated our 100th anniversary last year, 2017. But in 1917, our founders, Beam Mosling and William Besserdich, they had invented and patented a front-wheel drive axle and a transfer case to transfer the power from the rear axle to the front at a time where there were no paved roads. So their purpose at that time was to make a difference in the lives of others. Unfortunately, when they promoted those two different products, they weren't met with open arms from the automotive industry. Our grandson, one of the founders, shared with us over 53 rejection letters that these two men received from Packer, Studebaker, Ford, all the big automakers. And again, thankfully, they said, well, that perseverance DNA is going to start today, and we're going to build our own trucks. And we've been building trucks ever since. And just a historic start and a fun to celebrate this past year.
Yeah, one of your other early innovations was the first mass-produced 2-ton truck. And I think it was called the Model A 2-ton truck. And that's really how the company began. And
yeah, the four-wheel drive was something that was a front and center, and it's interesting today if you look at the military trucks and the success we've had. A big part of it goes back to our focus on suspensions, having that off-road mobility to go places where most people can't go.
That's interesting that you talk about the off-road mobility, because today the roads are so much better than they were then. And no one was really thinking about it at the time. I guess they were more concerned with just getting a car that would go from here a mile away or something like that.
Yeah, true. If you think of from a military standpoint or even a fire apparatus standpoint, a lot of times the roads aren't too good. And in some cases, from a military standpoint, you don't want to be on the roads. That's where bad things happen. So to have that off-road mobility is very important for our military customers.
As a company, you know, that's 100 years old, tell us a little bit about, there's got to be a story of how the company progressed and grew, and maybe there were hard times, and maybe there were times of low growth. Obviously, you've employed generations of families in this area, and that's an important piece of your history as well.
Yeah, over the years, I think the theme that you would hear about our company is that we just don't know how to give up. We've had probably six different occasions where a lot of companies wouldn't have made it. You go back in time, I mentioned just the start and the willingness to persevere and figure out how to build trucks with those good components. The Great Depression, you know, a lot of companies didn't come out of the Great Depression, and our forefathers figured out how to come out of there. In the 50s, there was another downturn, and the company went after a big airport contract for snow removal. We'd never built big snow removal trucks, and the Cold War was in debate, and so went after it. Wasn't even known to be in the competition, real dark horse, and prevailed and really kept the company going. Fast forward to more recent times, you know, getting through the Great Recession. That was a difficult time. We just purchased JLG, our largest segment, and got hit with the recession there. So it's just a credit to our people. I think if you listen to what we're headed today, it all starts with our people. And you mentioned the generational time. We have third and fourth generations working in our companies today. And again, that that just creates an environment of people that really care.
Yeah, great impact on the community. We talked a little bit before the show. Give us an idea, since about 2009, how your stock prices have risen and fallen, you know, with the economy and where you started, you know, in 2009 when the recession started, where
sure.
you are today.
Yeah, the Great Recession was tough on everyone. Our stock went down below $4. We had an opportunity to go after the MRAP. We call it our MATV. The Humvee was not protecting our troops and soldiers and Marines in the Middle East from IEDs. And so there was an urgent need contract, and we leaned forward at a time where we weren't in the best financial shape and won the contract, built 8,000 vehicles in around a year, and a big part was really helping make a difference in the lives of those soldiers and Marines. We had an activist come in our stock after that, Carl Icahn, and that was a couple of years of some ups and downs and getting through a proxy fight with him. And then you look today, we're up above $86 a share. So from below four to 86, just in the last 2 years, we've moved from about $30 stock price to 86. And again, I want to make sure you hear me say this is because of the people in our company. They're doing a great job and working well together.
Absolutely.
And through those tough times, as bad as they are, you also learn a lot, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're a humble company, and I think, but yet we are a company that's very competitive. And so I remember when we were going through the latest big fight to win the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle contract, the largest tactical vehicle contract in U.S. military history. We were up against the largest defense contractor, Lockheed Martin, and I don't think there were a lot of people that thought Little Oshkosh Corp could compete with Lockheed Martin, but I could tell you that the calmness around our strategy table and the group, no one ever wavered. We just kept going, persevered through a big protest and prevailed.
Good for you.
My understanding is you make all vehicles, all heavyweight, lightweight, medium-weight vehicles for the military right now.
That's right, sir. Today we have the heavy tactical wheeled vehicle contract, the medium tactical wheeled vehicle contract, and the light now. So we are the tactical wheeled vehicle provider of the U.S. military.
That's awesome. And you're not just a military. I mean, often people associate you with just a military company. You explained before the show what your divisions really are and how diverse your company is.
Yeah, you know, we used to start these talks off with reminding everybody that we're not the little overall company. You know, we're not Oshkosh B'gosh. We had some confusion with our organizational brand over the years. But you know, today we're a specialty vehicle manufacturer. We call ourselves a different integrated global industrial, and I can talk about that some more. But to your question, our biggest segment, we call it Access. It's JLG is the big company there. The cream and orange lifts you see under bridges, around buildings. They're our largest. They're our global company, 24/7, we call them. Second largest is defense, which most people in this area are familiar with. Third largest is our fire and emergency segment, which is Pierce Manufacturing is the big brand there. And then the fourth and probably least known in this area is our commercial segment. The big brand there is called McNeilus. They build refuse collection vehicles and concrete mixers.
That's great. You told me a touching story just as we wrap up maybe on this segment before we got on air about one of your longest-term employees. And I wondered if you could just give us a little bit of a people story on that.
Sure, I'll try. This is probably a tough one for me to talk about, but Clarence Youngworth was with our company. For over 70 years, we lost Inky recently, not 92 years old. Just a real patriot, ambassador of our company. Up until he passed away, he was still coming in part-time to take care of those customers. Inky was the master at finding truck parts for trucks that were 50, 60 years old. Our trucks, in some cases, last that long, and people still use them. And if you were talking to any of those customers, they would tell you Inky was their hero, and I'd have to say he was our hero, too.
That's awesome.
That's a great
really
story.
Good. Yeah, very touching.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Biz Talk on 1150 WHBY and 103.5 FM.
At Alberts & Hayling CPAs, your success is our success. We can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. We offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts & Hayling. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Hayling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Your legal business concerns are important to me. Legal Business Edge delivers value by working as a partner with you, our client, to help you understand your legal options. Focusing just on business law, we take the time to get to know your business and develop a legal strategy that will help you reach your business goals. Whether it involves intellectual property, contracts, negotiating for your rights, buying or selling a business, or organizing your business structure, Legal Business Edge gives you the creative legal options you need.
Sarah DeBruin provided our company solutions that saved us time and money, as the quality of her guidance and diligence provided creative solutions unparalleled by other attorneys.
Know your options. Call Legal Business Edge at 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Welcome back. We're glad you joined us. Before we get back to Wilson Jones from Oshkosh Corp., I want to tell you a little bit about the Fox City Score Chapter. We're located in the Fox City's Chamber Office in downtown Appleton. We have offices in Appleton, Oshkosh, and Fond du Lac, and we serve an 8-county area in, around those cities. We have about 50 people that volunteer, each an expert in their fields, offering entrepreneurs a no-cost and confidential mentoring service in areas such as IT, social media, marketing, cash flow, accounting, strategic planning, workflow, HR, retail, a whole bunch of different areas. In order to register for a no-cost confidential mentoring session or to learn more about Fox City Score, we ask you to visit our website at foxcities.score.org. You can learn more about the Score Chapter and how we can assist you starting or growing your business. When visiting our website at foxcities.score.org, you can complete an online application for a no-cost, confidential mentoring session. Simply complete the online form and submit it to SCORE, and within a few days, a mentor will get back to you, and we can start working you to help your business. So with that, we'll turn back to Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson, you mentioned, too, you are a differentiated, integrated global industrial company. Oshkosh Corp. is unique in that. You obviously have locations all over the world. But could you tell us, why is Oshkosh Corp. different?
Yeah, different from the standpoint, Sarah, that if you look at most global industrials today, they don't have a defense business like we do, a defense business with a really nice, positive, long-term outlook. Our JLTV program contract is 8 years. You may have seen in the papers recently, we just won another FMTV contract that's 7 years. So we have a great visibility in a foundational segment for us that we believe sets us apart. We also have, from a diverse end market standpoint, a good municipal business with our Pierce fire apparatus and our McNeilus refuse collection vehicles. So we are a little different than most industrials. When we say different integrated, if you think about all the tires, wheels, axles, suspensions across our four segments and all these specialty vehicles, we have great leverage with procurement that a lot of industrials don't have. The second big part of our integrated approach is our engineering. We share technology. You think of the good suspensions we have in our military trucks, those are also in our fire trucks. You think about the cylinders and all the different technology that we put in the area of just engineering state-of-the-art vehicles. We share that across all four business segments. So we believe that sets us apart. And then we really leverage our global footprint to manufacture different products in our. You take what used to be only a JLG facility in Mexico. Now we're able to build other segment products in that. So some real flexibility in manufacturing around the world, and that's really why we think we're a different integrated global industrial.
How many employees do you have around the world?
We're up over 15,000 today. working in selling products in 150 countries. So we are a global company today.
Absolutely. That's incredible.
It's interesting you talk about the suspension systems on your trucks and how that carries over into each of your four divisions. That's a synergy, right, that you know you are able to take advantage of and get the benefits of that synergy in each of those four divisions.
Our engineering is a force. We, from a material science standpoint, one of our core competencies is armor. Well, using those material science experts in our defense segment, we leverage them into our fire segment to create a ladder, 107-foot ladder on a single rear axle truck. Normally, when you go over 75 foot with a ladder, you have to have a dual rear axle. Well, you think about that's not very maneuverable in the big cities.
Sure.
But being able to have a 107 foot on a single rear axle, big competitive advantage for our Pierce company.
It's also interesting that so many things in our lives have come out of, and say in the last 30 years have come out of military developments. And I'm imagining that's happened with Oshkosh too, that things that you develop to solve a problem for the military division that you're doing also works over into the other three divisions.
It does. Command zone electronics for a vehicle. You know, we have autonomous military vehicles that will be able to leverage that technology into commercial products. So it's like I said, we say it all the time, we are a different integrated global industrial.
And you're constantly innovating, which is the way to keep ahead of the market.
Yeah, we multi-generational product plans, 5 to 7 years out, just like an automotive company. We also have multi-generational technology plans. So it's important for us. If you look at how we've grown market share over the years, it's been a lot of good work, you know, inside the companies, but the innovative products have certainly helped us do a lot of that.
It's probably really critical right now in the disruptive world that we're living in that, you know, things seem to be changing. Everybody knows they're changing. We're not really sure where it's going and how it's going to change, but we know that it is changing. And you've got to face that, too, as a company, too. Right?
Absolutely. You know, this mechanical to digital shift is important that you stay in front of. Electrification, all kinds of technologies that we have to be on the forefront with.
Great. So.
Well, let's get back to, when we come back after the segment, how your people play a role in this company. And I know that you value that in your culture very highly. Good. We'll talk about that next.
Okay. You're listening to WHBY 1150 and 103.5 FM.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Albertson Hailing CPAs, we work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and help maximize profits. From asset protection to tax planning and more, we'll guide you through a financial plan. Visit AlbertsHailing.com today. Albertson Hailing, personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You found a new house you love.
Oh, this place is amazing.
So, what do you do next? Come to Fox. It's the first step towards your new home happy dance.
Oh, yeah, this house is ours.
Yes!
Get the best loan rates, local servicing, and step-by-step home buying assistance from the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. With Fox, you can get more home with lower payments, faster loan payoff with bi-weekly payment options, and help from local experts who are as excited as you are to help you get the home of your dreams.
Guess what? You got the loan.
And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Talk to Fox and do your new home happy dance.
See how Fox can help you with 22 locations and loan experts that make it easy.
Equal housing opportunity lender. Apply online today. Visit foxcu.org.
Fox Communities.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney, and I'm here with Sarah DeBruin this morning, and we're talking to Wilson Jones from Oshkosh Corp. Before we go back to Wilson, I want to talk a little bit about the educational work that we do at SCORE. We pride ourselves on being able to educate small business, and we have an educational session set up in March that I'd like to tell you about. It's called Strategy for Small Business or Nonprofit. If planning Planning can drive growth and help avoid surprises and ultimately save time and money. In this workshop, you will learn about the options for completing strategic plans, streamlining the creation process, and making the plan a core component of your management toolkit. The workshop is at the Fox City Score Office in the Fox City's Chamber Building at 125 North Superior Street in Appleton. It takes place on March 13th from 6 to 8 p.m. Our presenter is Terry Pinch, a SCORE mentor who has 30 years of finance, strategy, and planning experience with multinational companies, as well as experience consulting with small businesses. For more information or to sign up, go to foxcities.score.org. Let's go back to Wilson.
Wilson, we've talked about your global footprint. Let's go focus in a little bit locally. You have a real strong focus on empowering your workforce, and you have a specific program you call People First. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. We started a couple of years ago and really studying our culture and where our culture was. And I don't think we had a bad culture, but we thought from a continuous improvement standpoint, we needed to have better focus on our people. And so our whole program is about enabling a people-first culture, and we started with our own leaders, making sure that we were going to model the right behaviors of trust and respect, collaboration, gain alignment, and fourth and probably most important to our leadership is to have some fun. And we did an engagement survey, and it was not a good one. We weren't in where we thought we should be. So we started around three important areas, and it was the three areas that our team members said that we should focus on. One was engage them. They want to be engaged more. Second was they wanted to be developed, develop us more. And then the third was help connect us with each other, with our customers, and with the community. So we've built a people strategy around that. If you look at our five-year strategic plan, that's the first strategy. It starts with our people. We know if we take care of our people, they're going to take great care of our customers. That'll help us take good care of our shareholders, which will enable us to come back and take good care of the communities where we live and work. So we're off to it, a good start. I would say we're farther ahead than I thought we would be at this time. Again, a real credit to our people. And what's been fun is the business is performing at a much higher level than we thought it would be at this time. And again, it's in a time where we're not getting a lot of tailwinds that are helping us in the marketplace. I believe a lot of it's a credit to our people and an inspired team that is collaborating and working well together and producing these great results.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the programs you have for community engagement with your team members, military-friendly hiring plans. Those are big deals for empowering your people and educating your people, helping them gain skills.
Sure. Our purpose is about making a difference in the lives of others. And that doesn't just mean our customers. It's also our own people, and it's also the people in the community. So a lot of our different businesses have started what we call feed forward programs. And that's where individuals get together in a group, and there may be 10 that are passionate about food pantries.
Sure.
So they'll go out and work in the different food pantries. There's some that are very passionate about Boys and Girls Clubs, so they'll do that. Some of the bigger events we've done is set up production lines in our plants and bring in bulk foods and package meals. We've had 400 team members recently in our defense segment package meals for 2.5 hours on a Saturday where they bring their families, we work together, and they furnish those packaged meals back to the food pantries. The big one we did, and we've got another event coming up that I should probably put an infomercial out on, is around Feed the Body, Feed the Soul. And that's where we have concerts about feeding the soul with great music. We take those proceeds, the ticket sales, and we go out and we had 1,000 volunteers at Feeding America, and we packaged over 200,000 pounds of rice, enough rice for Northeast Wisconsin for a year, 35,000 families. The whole goal of Feed the Body, Feed the Soul is to, you know, help take care of basic needs, but also get more volunteers involved. We really targeted people in the community that haven't volunteered. And as you both know, once you do something in the community and you see what effect that has for basic needs and people who really have needs like that, you want to do it again. And so we're our goal in that foundation is to get 30-40% of this community giving back, and not money, but time and talent. So that's been a big fun one for us, and we've got another event coming up around that.
Yeah, certainly when people feel as if they're giving back to the community through their job, through their employment, and through the company that is backing them, that's really what empowers people and makes your work culture a valuable and important piece of a person's life.
Yeah, we studied a lot of macro trends when we were working on our culture and trying and making sure we were getting going in the right direction. And there's a Gallup poll out there that polled 153 countries around what makes people happy. And the number one determinant of happiness from this survey was meaningful work with people who care. And we believe we're doing meaningful work in, you know, protecting the warfighter and the firefighter and technicians working at 185 feet. And we want to make sure that not only we're doing that smart work, but we're doing healthy work too, where people feel like they're cared for. And, you know, we were a smart organization. Now we're working to be smart and healthy.
Is that part of your strategy to attract new people to work for you too?
It is, Pat. You know, today, probably the biggest issue we face as a company is access to skilled labor. Unemployment very low, and big reason we're doing a global headquarters is we have our culture going in the right direction, doing the right things with our people, but we don't have the work environment to match that. So that's very important today. And if you look just in the Valley area, we're probably one of the last big companies to put together a headquarters building with nice amenities, things that attract all levels of the workforce. And so we're excited about this. We're also excited about the headquarters getting us out of over 40 vehicles around Oshkosh. That's just not efficient. And during this time of the year, it's not as safe for our team members that have to move around. And we're just excited to have that. And, you know, a big part of what we want to do with this new building is be a good community neighbor. And we're going to have the first floor conference center is going to be available for the community to use, and we'll have a little bit of a inspirational experience area that if folks in the community don't know us very well, they'll be able to learn a little bit more and maybe better connect with us and be part of our company.
Can you describe any other interesting features about your headquarters and why you feel staying here in Oshkosh is going to make this company win?
Sure. We, you know, today, metropolitan areas are really recruiting hard Fortune 500 companies. It's a big deal to have a Fortune 500
right
in your community, especially in metropolitan areas. And they're throwing a lot of incentives around there. When we started looking, it was quite a process. And, you know, our goal was to stay in Oshkosh. We felt like from a shareholder's perspective, we had to listen to some of the other things. You know, with our largest segment being around Washington, D.C., with the Pentagon and Capitol Hill there was a big pull in that area. But the city of Oshkosh, the chamber, GOEDC, everyone stepped up. The WDC really came, and as I shared with the group the other night at a little bit of a ceremony around this, this is where we wanted to be, and I'm glad it worked out. But from a personality standpoint, we want to make sure that the building is inviting, it's warm, it fits the setting, and so a park-type setting is where we're headed. And when you look at the building, and there's actually, you can go out, there's an application called Oshkosh HQ, if you want to take a look at the building. I think you'll see what I'm saying here, in that there's chevrons that if you think about a military, the chevron on a military patch, that's in our building, through the glass, you can see that signifying our strength. Then there's quite a bit of stone around our facility that really is that permanence, that perseverance that I talked about earlier, going back to 1917. Coming into the building, I mentioned the conference center that will be available for our friends in the community. We'll have a training academy on the second floor. I mentioned, you know, this is a global headquarters. We want to cycle all of our 15,000 team members through there at least once a year for professional development opportunities. We call it the U, Your Oshkosh University. We're going to have a really neat polished concrete floor throughout the building that kind of connects with our concrete mixer business, our concrete batch plant business. So all throughout the building, you'll have this connection. Probably the big centerpiece of our building is the atrium. All of our military trucks have to test to a 60-degree incline. Mm-hmm. And so when you come in the building, you'll be able to look up through the atrium. It won't be a kind of a square. It will be a basically this incline. And we'll be able to have all of our team members come around the atrium, and we can do an all-team member meeting with someone standing on the first floor looking up through those four floors of the atrium.
Can you talk about what that 60-degree incline is, why that's important to you?
Sure. On our test track, we simulate Aberdeen Proving Grounds with our test ground. One of the big requirements is the military truck has to go halfway up the 60-degree incline and stop, come to a complete stop, and then start and get back up the hill. Then it has to come down the hill, stop halfway, and back up the hill. It really simulates basically getting in and out of a situation very fast and in a very extreme condition. And that's, you know, that's a big part of us. When you see that, our team members really connect with that test.
That's a terrific story.
It is. And, you know, your company has been, you're obviously a Fortune 500 company, and your people culture has made you successful. Let's talk about some of the honors your company has received, and especially the last 2 years and your latest achievements.
Well, sir, first of all, we want to be a humble company, so I don't want this to come across as any type of arrogance, but it has been overwhelming with the recognition we've received. And if you talk to our team, they would tell you we're just getting started with our move with our team members and enabling a people first culture. But 2 years in a row, world's most ethical company designation. There's only a little over 200 of those companies around the world that received that designation from Ethisphere Institute. Forbes magazine, 2 years in a row. America's Best Large Employers. We received the Military Friendly Award this past year. Glassdoor, which is really three years ago I would beg you not to look at Glassdoor on our company.
Right.
But they just recognized us as in 2018 as one of the best places to work. Just a little over a month ago, Fortune magazine added us to their most admired companies list for 2018. I think there's 224 of those companies, five in Wisconsin. So just, you know, a real testament to our people and what they're doing. This is what the good work they're doing. You think about working 150 countries around the world with all the foreign corrupt practices that going on to be designated with, you know, no ethics violations, good governance. Again, you couldn't do that without 15,000 people really, really working well together.
It's a great credit to you.
Well, it's a credit to our team. I try to stay out of their way, Pat. It's a good group, and they're doing great things.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah, we had mentioned earlier a little bit about your friendliness towards the military. Do you have a recruiting program for ex-military veterans?
We do. Today we have right around 1,000 veterans in our company. And when you think about our purpose of making a difference in the lives of others, that's well understood with our veterans. We have a couple of different groups that help us on the recruiting side. There's roughly 200,000 veterans coming out of military service each year. And what we're trying to do is stay in front of that and recruit. You know, some of our locations aren't as attractive as others, but that's our goal, is to continue a very heavy recruitment of veterans.
And I think those programs, you know, you talk about your awards, and it really is those types of programs, people first, military, friendly employment, all of your training and growth opportunities you have for your own team members. That's really more important than the awards you receive, isn't it?
It is. You know, first of all, it's the right thing to do.
Correct.
And then when we can add to that, it's so important going forward that we're considered one of the best employers in an area, whether it's here or whether it's in Maryland. All of our facilities, with the positive outlook they have to be attractive to people, because we're going to need to not only continue to develop the talent we have, but we're going to have to attract new talent with our current plans.
And Oshkosh is the right fit. It is. Oshkosh is the right fit.
We think so. We think so. When I was challenged on, can you continue to win in Oshkosh? And I think this headquarters is going to help that. But big part of why we think we can win is just the community that's behind us. When you have the work that we're doing, it's nice that you have a community that steps up and supports you. And I think that means a lot to our team. Our team throughout this discussion around headquarters, we're so impressed with the community that, you know, having a headquarters, knowing the quality of life in this area, it was unanimous for us that yes, we can keep winning here.
Can you talk a little bit about your supplier base in this area and how that is a quality feature that supports your company, not just the community, but that's a huge part of that community support?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, without great supplier partners, you're going to struggle no matter how good your products and process are. You've got to have that great partnership. And just around Oshkosh in general, we have about 150 suppliers. Pierce, if you add Pierce in, there's another 100 there. So you're talking about 250 supplier partners, and some of them serve both Pierce and Oshkosh Defense. But to have that base here, and it's from an economic standpoint, it's probably a little over $200 million in material spend that we have with our supply base here. And it's always nice to have that supply base within that 50 to 100-mile radius of your facility just from a logistics standpoint. And I think from what we're hearing, there's going to be more of our supply base look at getting closer to us, especially now that, you know, it's we're public with our long-term outlook for these businesses. So supplier partners are key to our success.
Yeah, Wisconsin's history as a manufacturing company, I think, has a big part in building your supplier base and making it such high quality. And you do have quality workers here that you can tap from the pool.
You're right, Sarah. The 9,000 manufacturers in Wisconsin, some really small, yeah, some really big. But it's a great state for manufacturing, and it's had good support throughout the state. And we certainly are going to do our best to keep that going.
You're also doing partnerships with some of the educational institutions in the area. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mentioned access to labor is probably our biggest concern going forward. And we call it Operation Kitchen Sink. We're throwing everything at it to make sure that we stay ahead. And it starts with junior achievement. We've got team members that are volunteering with junior achievement. We've got a lot of our team members that are involved with STEM. We've just started some apprentice programs with the Oshkosh School District. I know Pierce is working with some schools in the Valley on some apprentice programs. We're doing a lot of internal development, helping some, say, assembler wants to learn a trade or skill. We're helping train them in their welding or becoming an electrician, doing a lot of that internal. We work very closely with Fox Valley Technical College and with the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. That's another big reason we believe we can win, continue to win here, is we've got those two institutions right, you know, in our backyard and work very closely with us. So we've got a lot of things that we're working on in terms of not just letting this access to labor issue hurt us. We're proactively doing things. We continue to learn and benchmark with other companies on what they're doing that's successful, and I'm sure there'll be more programs that we'll be adding as we go here.
So some of these, like the ones you talked about with the Oshkosh School District, you're partnering with them and working with students before they actually get out of high school, so that when they do get out, maybe they choose a career to follow through that would be helpful to your company. I think that's really strong and really unique and interesting.
Thank you. The perception of manufacturing, unfortunately, has turned negative. It's kind of considered dumb and dirty, and when you walk through our facilities, that will change your mind to see that. And so we're trying to help educate our young people, especially those that are not sure what they want to do when they graduate. Maybe rather than going and getting a big student loan and into something they're not sure about, they can come to work for us, learn some different areas, see if there's interest there. And, you know, if they want to continue education, we have tuition reimbursement programs. So they can not only make some money and learn some other trades or skills, but then also have some reimbursement to further their education if it's the technical college or if it's at the university.
There's a lot of debate right now about the value, and I'm not putting down colleges, but the amount of investment you have to put into that education, and like you say, the student loans and things like that, versus, you know, maybe focusing on a trade and going that route.
I talked to a young man the other day, one of our team members' sons, and he was at a loss for words. He had got a college degree and couldn't find a job in that area, a little over $100,000 in student loans. And I asked him, well, you know, what do you really want to do? What do you care? What are you passionate about? He said, enjoy working with my hands. I kind of grew up on a farm, and so we're helping the young man, you know, going to Fox Valley Tech, and he's going to work part-time for us. And, you know, the unfortunate thing there is he's got that big student loan over his head now, and we're hoping that those young high school students that aren't sure, maybe before they make a mistake like that, they give this a try. And again, education is great, but it's not for everyone. If you look today, the big void in our country, and when people complain about jobs that are going out of this country, well, it's because those trades aren't available. They're hard to find, and so we're working hard to build the trades. And I think the programs that we have in place today are good, but I know my HR team would tell you that I push them every day on what else should we be doing here on Operation Kitchen Sink to make sure we are taking care of our company.
And I think it's great that we are recognizing as a society and you as a company that there is a value to pushing a trade. There is a very good need there, and it's a good way to make a living, and you don't have to necessarily go to college to do that.
My son is at Fox Valley Technical College, and he's having a blast. He's in the industrial program, and, you know, I could have been a parent that said you have to go to college, but he wanted to do this, and I think it's important that our young people do really go to what they're attracted to do. Think about, you know, not what you people have to be, but what do you really want to do, and then you'll do well at that.
Yeah, I have the good fortune of knowing your son, and he's one of my son's best friends, and known you for a couple of years. But, you know, technology being the death of manufacturing, that's really a myth, isn't it?
It is a myth. You know, for us, in our markets, they're not big markets. They're smaller, mature markets, and so there's a lot more custom work going on. You know, we automate where you can with highly repeatable products, but we're not a lot of standard manufacturing. So there's a lot of art that goes into what we do, and it is a myth, Sarah. There's still so much need for manufacturing talent.
That's great.
Great. Well, we're going to take one last break before the end of the show. You're listening to BizTalk on 1150 WHPY and 103.5 FM.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts and Hayling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting from startup to sell-off, and more. We specialize in creating financial management plans for your business. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today. Alberts and Hayling. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Hayling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. Before we end this morning, I'd like to thank our sponsors who bring this and make this show possible each week. They are Fox Communities Credit Union, who has been a longtime sponsor of Biz Talk. If you're looking for a business lender or deposit agent, Fox Communities Credit Union should be somebody you're looking at. Alberts and Hayling CPAs has been with us a long time. They do tax work at this time of year for small business and personal, and if you're looking for help with that, you should be talking to Alberts and Hayling. Legal Business Edge, which is Sarah's company, we thank you for your sponsorship.
You're welcome.
A lot of work in business law and helping people get their businesses started. Thank you to WBD, the Wisconsin Business Development Corporation. They do a lot of work in the 504 SBA loan area. They're the experts for that, and you should talk to them if you're looking for an SBA loan. And then we also want to thank Kendale Marketing. They put together our website for BizTalk. That is at biztalkwithscore.com each week. You can go out there and you can look and see who we're going to have for next week. some tips on growing your business. And the final sponsor is the Business News. They promote our program in their biweekly newspaper. They do a lot of promoting of business in the Northeast Wisconsin area, and we thank them. So we're going to finish up our talk with Wilson.
Wilson, you know, today so many CEOs get a bad rap. What is it like to be a CEO of a Fortune 500 company?
Well, I get that question a lot, Sarah. I spend a lot of time. We have over 200 interns in our company every summer. And I just enjoy talking to our young team members. And invariably, during their question and answer sessions with me, they'll say, so, you know, what's it like to be a CEO? And I turn that around and I ask them, so won't you tell me what it's like to be a CEO? And they have a puzzled look. And where I usually go with that is that we're all CEOs. If you think about your personal and professional development, who cares about that the most? You do. And so I really encourage them to think about that, and they're the CEO of their life. And whatever their aspirations are, how serious are they about those? Do they have a board of directors that's helping them? In other words, accountability group. And for you young people out there, listen to your parents. Let them be on your board of directors. But the main point I try to make to them is for me, to be a CEO is making sure that I'm there to serve. It's not about I didn't come to serve to be served. I'm there to serve. And I really believe that the best CEOs are really good at that, and I've got a long way to go in my journey, but to put people first and genuinely put them first is so important. And for me, that's what I enjoy. I love seeing team members that maybe didn't think they could do certain things, and they finally, and maybe through some of our help, we get some of those self-imposed barriers out of their way. And then they just flourish. You know, to see some of our team members today that we've empowered through our engagement process, and they're coming to us now with what we should do. You know, building that strategy from the ground up versus telling them this is what we're going to do and this is what you do. It's just, I love to see people come into their own like that and realize it's not my company, it's their company. And so I get a lot of kick out of just watching people develop. I think that's a big responsibility of leadership today.
Sure. Leadership is really about doing the right thing, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Do you have any advice you could give some of our local audience and business owners in how they should be looking at their companies?
Yeah, you mentioned CEOs get a bad rap, and I'm sure I have my share of bad raps out there. There's someone said the other day, if you want everybody to like you, you need to sell ice cream. But I think leadership in companies today, if they would think more about, you know, the awesome responsibility of being a leader, and that may be a leader of two people, it may be a leader of 30 people, but if you think about as a leader, you have more influence over your people's health than their doctor does. They're with you more than they see their doctor. And I think if you think of that as a leader, and what are you doing to this person's life, it might change the way, the manner in which you work with them. I think that's so important. Today, roughly 70% of health issues are chronic. Anxiety, depression, mm-hmm. A lot of that stems from the workplace. And we've got to be better stewards of our people. And then people might stop complaining about high healthcare costs because they're not putting their people through those things. So I just would challenge leaders today to think about that it's an awesome responsibility, and you have a bigger effect on those people than maybe you thought about.
Sure. And if you're a business owner, who cares more about your business?
Right.
It's you. And that's how you have to look at your own leadership and your company and your position.
You can see our results today, and I think a big reason for that, and we haven't had a lot of market help. A big reason is our leadership team is taking better care of our people.
That's awesome.
Sounds simple, but it's a lot of work.
Oh, it is. We have a long way to go. We're clumsy and sometimes don't get that right, but we do keep that front and center and work hard at it.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Well, this has been a real pleasure. I've really enjoyed the hour talking to you, and I'm very happy that you're able to stop off and spend some time with us this morning.
You mean we don't have another 7 hours for me to talk about our company?
I think you probably could. It's very interesting,
yes,
and
it
people
is.
Would
yeah.
love to hear it. This broadcast is, I think, going to be replayed later this afternoon, 4:30. That's usually what happens. And our podcast of the show will be on the Biz Talk with Score website as well.
Great.
If you want to re-listen to this wonderful show we had today.
So thank you, Wilson. It's good seeing you.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Sarah.
You're welcome.
And we'll see you next week.